Welcome to Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We are studying from the Old Testament book of Judges, a very turbulent and disturbing period in the history of ancient Israel. We've now come to the 10th chapter of this book, and we've looked at six of the judges that are recorded in the book of Judges. And the next men that we see follow the situation that was concerning Abimelech, who tried to make himself a king, but of course he was unsuccessful in doing that. But we have next the name of two of the judges, but very much is lacking about them. We only have their name, just a little bit about how long they did rule in the land. The first one was named Tola. Now we know that he obviously fought against some enemy of Israel, because it says that he arose to defend the people of Israel. But we don't know who it was that he defended them against. And he judged Israel for some 23 years, and he died. And then the next one that's mentioned is a man named Jair, and there's not much about him either, except for the fact that he is a Gileadite. Now, a Gileadite was of the branch of the tribe of Manasseh, and that would mean that he lived on the eastern side of the River Jordan, over in the territory that had once belonged to the Ammonites, but prior to them had belonged to the Amorites. Now, those two names are very similar, but to understand what we're going to read a little bit later on about another Gileadite judge, we have to understand the distinction between Ammonites and the Amorites. But this man, Jair, he ruled for some 22 years, and he died. Then we find again a repetition of the things that is so often recorded here in the book of Judges about the people of Israel, and it's so pathetic. It says, the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. That word again is what makes it so pathetic. It looks like these people never would learn the truth that Solomon stated, that righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And friend, I want to suggest that's a lesson that we today in our own land need to learn as well. But the people of Israel, the evil that they did, they served the gods of the people that they were supposed to have driven out of the land. They served the gods of Syria, and the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of the Ammonites, the gods of the Philistines. It says they forsook the Lord. They didn't serve the Lord that had served them. Well, of course, the result was, as was always the case, you reap what you sow. The anger of the Lord was hot against Israel. He sold them into the hands of the Philistines and also into the hands of the Ammonites. Now, this was, God allowed these things to happen in order to punish the people of Israel for their apostasy from him, and order also to bring them back again unto his service. Well, for 18 years, they were oppressed by the people of Ammon. The children of Ammon just caused Israel to be so distressed. And in this oppression, in this suffering that they had brought upon themselves, the children of Israel again cried unto the Lord. This is what they would do after a while of their punishment. And they said, we have sinned against thee, both because we have forsaken our God and have served Baal. Well, the Lord reminded them. He had delivered them out of Egypt. He had delivered them from the Amorites, and that was the time when Moses led the people against the Amorites, just before Joshua took them across the Jordan River to capture the land. He had delivered them from their enemies time and time again. And God reminded the people, and this was to impress upon them the evil that they had done. He said, "Yet ye have forsaken me and served other gods. Wherefore will I deliver you no more?" Well, God was going to deliver them, but not in the frame of mind that they were in their disobedience to God. They had forsaken God. This was the reason they were in such trouble. And so God simply challenged them, "Go and cry unto the gods which ye have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation." Well, of course, God knew that these false gods that they were serving, they could not deliver them from their problems. It would take only the true and living God to be able to do that. When the people realized that they couldn't call upon those false gods, why they ever took it upon themselves to turn to gods that could not be of any help to them is really, it's a mystery why they would do that. But nonetheless, they would cry out, "We have sinned." And they pleaded with God, "Do thou unto us whatsoever seemeth good unto thee. Deliver us only, we pray thee, this day." And so they put away their strange gods. They repented of their evil, and they turned to again serve the Lord. And the Lord was grieved because of the people of Israel, and he begins to set in motion actions that would bring about the cessation of their oppression. Now the children of Ammon gathered their forces together, and the people of Israel assembled themselves also to try to drive off the oppression of the Ammonites. And so we go into the 11th chapter of Judges, and we're introduced to another Gileadite, this branch of the tribe of Manasseh. This man's name is Jephthah. Now, there's a lot of disagreement about some of the things pertaining to Jephthah, and we'll note these as we go through. But Jephthah was known as a mighty man of valor, but he was the son of a harlot. And because of this, the other children of his father would not allow him to share in the inheritance of his father's house. Well, we can understand why they might have felt that way. And so they drove Jephthah away. Jephthah fled from his brethren. And so the children of Ammon come to make war against Israel. Well, the leaders of Gilead, they went to ask Jephthah to lead them in battle. They didn't have anybody among their ranks that could be the competent kind of leader that they would need in this conflict. And so they come and they recognize Jephthah to be a man of valor. And so they ask him, even though they had driven him away, they ask him to come and be their leader to fight against the children of Ammon. Well, Jephthah didn't just immediately accept that proposition. He would be their captain, but he said, "You drove me out. You expelled me out of my father's house. Now in your distress you come to me." But the leaders of Gilead said, "Now if you will, why, we will let you be the captain over our people." And Jephthah said, "Even after the battle, even after victory, not only during the time will I be the captain that will drive them away, can I be your leader thereafter?" And they agreed to let Jephthah be their leader when he was successful in driving out the Ammonites. So the first thing that Jephthah does, he sent messengers to the king of Ammon, and he said, "What hast thou to do with me, that thou art come against me to fight in my land?" He was simply asking why were they oppressing them as they were. Well, the king of Ammon had an excuse for doing what he was doing. He said, "You took away our land from us. When you came up out of the land of Egypt, why, you crossed over the Jordan, and you took away our land, and we are going to reclaim it." Well, Jephthah said, "No, we didn't take the land away from you." Now, the reason that he could say that, it is true the Ammonites were living in a land that the Israelites once had taken, but the land had already primarily and earlier been taken and belonged to the Amorites. The Israelites, when they came into the land of Palestine, they conquered the Amorites and took the land from the Amorites. They didn't take the land from the Ammonites. Therefore, the claim of the Ammonites on the land was invalid. And Jephthah let them know that when God has given them the land, then they had a right to possess it. And they possessed all of that territory. So now the Lord God of Israel has dispossessed the Amorites, and therefore it belonged to Israel. It did not belong to the Amorites. "Whosoever the Lord our God shall drive out from before us, them we will possess." Well, Jephthah was very bold in his opposition to these people who were subjecting the Israelites to this punishment. And so he was waging a warfare against the people, or going to wage a warfare against the people of Ammon. Now, when he gets ready to go out to fight, he first calls upon the Lord, and he makes this vow. Jacob vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, "If thou shalt without fail deliver the children of Ammon into mine hand, then it shall be that whatsoever cometh forth of the doors of my house to meet me when I return in peace from the children of Ammon shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up for a burnt offering." Now this vow of Jephthah is that which I mentioned earlier, which is about the great difference of opinion as to what took place here, as to what Jephthah vowed and as to what Jephthah did. But just here, before we go and see the outcome of the battle between Israel and Ammon, we want to take note how that Jephthah relied upon the Lord. He didn't rely upon these false gods that these people had worshipped. He relied upon the true and living God. And he made a promise to God. And this promise he was going to keep. We're going to see that he does keep his vow. But there's some question as to just what all this vow did involve. But the point we want to emphasize, how wise and faithful was Jephthah. He was a good judge because he relied upon the true and living God for the deliverance of Israel from the oppression upon them from the Ammonites. Well, we're going to continue with this chapter in our next study, the 11th chapter, as we see Jephthah and his victory and how he keeps his vow unto the Lord. We hope that you'll be listening and continue to study with us during this very important period of ancient Israel's history. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.